Exodus 25. Exodus 25 is where we'll be this evening. And I am very interested in one of the ways in which the Ark of the Covenant is described here in Exodus 25. The same description given in Exodus 25 appears on 11 different occasions in our Bibles. And let's just jump in and read it for ourselves and see where we are. So let's go ahead and stand to our feet out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. Here we are in Exodus chapter 25, and I'll begin reading in verse number 10. The Bible says, "And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold within and without, shalt thou overlay it. And thou shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof. The 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings in the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the side of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark, and they shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee." I'd like for you to take a look very closely at what is said in verse number 16 once more. "And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee." Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray now in these moments, Lord, that you would empty me of myself. Father, that you would fill me with the unction of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that I would speak clearly and concisely about what you have laid both on my heart and placed so beautifully in your word. And Father, I pray that by doing so, that, Lord, you would accomplish that which you desire in the hearts of these wonderful people. Lord, draw them unto yourself, instruct them, and teach us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. I am most interested in this word, testimony. In fact, if we were to go down through this passage and look a little bit deeper into it and find ourselves in verse number 22, we would read this: "And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubs which are upon the ark of the testimony." The ark of the testimony. On 11 different occasions in our King James Bibles, we read that phrase, the ark of the testimony. We see in verse number 16, it seems to be what God is drawing everyone's attention to concerning this ark. Now, all throughout Scripture, there is reference given to the Ark of the Covenant. We see the things that are placed in that ark. It's Aaron's rod that budded was placed in there. The Ten Commandments were placed in that Ark of the Testimony. And a golden bowl with manna from above was placed into the Ark of that testimony. And not only that, but consider the place in which the Ark of the Covenant or the Ark of the Testimony was then placed. It was not placed haphazardly outside of the courtyard of the tabernacle or even in the outer court, but instead it was placed in the Holy of Holies, the most revered and centralized place when that nation would gather itself around the tabernacle. It could be said that the Ark of the Covenant was the central place of worship for all of Israel. It was the place where the testimony of God resided. Now, that word testimony is interesting to me because we still use it in the same way that's intended here in this passage. It is intended to be a form of evidence, a witness of things that have happened or things that have been done. In fact, in the courtrooms of America, in law, a testimony is a form of evidence that is obtained from a witness,
who makes a solemn statement or declaration of a fact. Isn't that a blessing? In other words, a testimony is an account of something that has been experienced or something that has been observed. And in our walk with the Lord, our life should be full of testimony. Testimony of things that we have experienced and things that we have observed at the hand of the Lord. Our testimony is a declaration of something that God has done for us, in us, or near us. We should all be able to bear witness and give testimony of things that God has done in our life. I'd like to entitle the message tonight this, A Testimony Worth Telling. I could form it in the phrase of a question. Do you have a testimony worth telling? Something that you have observed God doing or experienced God doing in your life. You see, we sometimes de-emphasize and devalue the testimony of one another. I always enjoy those services where someone just feels so compelled of God to stand up and say, Pastor Jared, I've got a testimony. I've got something that I've just got to share. And I look into their faces and I see a burden. And I like to bring a mic over for those watching by live stream and just at risk of hearing all kinds of who knows what, hear what the Lord has done in their hearts. Only on a few occasions have I regretted doing that. You all know what I mean. But on so many of occasions, one testimony seems to break the ice of the goodness of God and the lives of others that are in the sanctuary, and they feel that same burden and compelled to share what God has done. And by the way, it is my prayer that Valley View Baptist Church always be a place that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty to disrupt a predetermined order of things and instead give way to God's movement in your hearts to share testimony. And I kind of miss those that in years gone by had that boldness. I remember Dave Young. He was always one to stand and give testimony. And now he's giving that testimony in glory. I think of Brother Dave Benson, never shy to stand up and share testimony of what God has done in his life. And sometimes we think that this is a distraction from the service, but it is not. It's what God intends. In fact, yeah, I think that God values a testimony worth telling. In fact, because God values a testimony, he has painted a testimony all over the heavens. For Psalm 19 tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. What is creation? It is nothing but a testimony that is intended to get our attention, to disrupt the order of our lives, that we might hear what God has to say. That's why Psalm 19, verse number 2 says of this testimony, that day unto day it uttereth speech, night unto night it showeth knowledge. It declares that there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard, and that their line has gone out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. I believe that God values a testimony that is worth telling. That's why he's given us a written testimony. John chapter number 5, Jesus says to search the scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. I believe that this book is a testimony, has a testimony worth telling. In fact, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost of God, he is supposed to be a testifier of God in his being, Jesus Christ. John 15, 26, Jesus says, but when the Comforter, that is the Holy Ghost, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, what shall he do? He shall testify of me. Have you ever considered that one of the persons of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost, one of his primary jobs is to give testimony about God? If God takes a whole person of personhood of his Trinity to testify of Christ, then why are we so bashful when we have a testimony worth telling? I mean, even the Bible speaks of the testimony of man. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says that then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. What do you think they were speaking about? They were speaking and sharing the testimony of what they had seen and what had been done in them by the Lord. And the Bible says of those people that when they spake often one of another, that the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. In fact, Jesus says of those that shared their testimonies of him, he says, they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. In fact, we are commanded by Scripture to share our testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does John 15 not say that ye shall also bear witness? This phrase, bear witness, literally means to speak of what you have seen and heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye shall bear witness because ye have been with me from the beginning. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We speak of it in terms of missions so frequently, and we should. But here is what it says. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what should you do with that power? The Lord Jesus Christ says, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You see, when we show and tell our testimony, when we bear witness of what the Lord has done, we are acting in fulfillment of what God desires for us to do. Friends, you have a testimony worth telling. The greatest part of my testimony is this, is that when I was a young boy at 2165 Bellwood Drive, St. Albans, West Virginia, as my mother and I sat down at the table for lunch, we bowed our heads and prayed for the meal like we always do. But on that particular day, the Holy Spirit of God began to convict my heart, and my curious mind began to ask questions about how I can know for sure that I am on my way to heaven. This is a big deal. How do we know that we get to heaven? And I asked my mom, how do I know? And she began to tell me that I was a sinner, which I knew, and I'm glad that I wasn't going to get a spanking that day. She began to tell me that I was a sinner, just like the Bible says of all of us, and how Jesus loved me so much that he sent that Jesus died for me and died in my place and was buried and rose from the dead. And when he died for my sin, he made a payment that I could not pay. He paid for my sin and he paid for it all. And all I had to do was accept him as my Savior by faith and I could be saved. And I bowed my head that day and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me, and he did. It's not a testimony of what I did. It's a testimony of what he did. And that is the greatest testimony that I could share. But since that day, there are many things that I could testify about. I could testify about how he has never left me and how he has never forsaken me. I could testify about how even in dangerous and threatening times and places in my life, the Lord preserved me safely and brought me carefully up to this point. I could testify of how even in the dark despair, when my wife and I lost our son, that the Lord sustained me and I learned that his grace was sufficient. I could testify in the same way that the King of Israel did when he said that he's never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And I know that this room is full of those that could bear testimony of God's goodness. But as we come to this passage, And we see this description in verse number 16 of Exodus 25, that thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give it. I consider the ark of the covenant, or the ark of the testimony, as we see in Exodus 25, verse 22. We see this as an example of what a testimony can do. Quite frankly, whenever we think of the testimony that we could give as we testify the goodness of God, we typically only think of a few things that it accomplishes. It accomplishes, for some of you, it accomplishes a way to get out of long-winded preaching. Because, you know, if you testify during a service, that I'll have mercy on your souls and I'll shorten it up so we get out in time. Yeah, I did that when I was in school too. If you distract the teacher long enough, you don't have to learn anything. But a testimony that's worth telling is far more powerful than that. And I just want to make a quick examination of three things that a testimony accomplishes. Number one, we should share our testimony for the purpose of remembering. For the purpose of remembering. Why did the Lord call it the Ark of the Testimony? Because He wanted His children to always remember His unique relationship with them. You remember the three items that were put in that Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of the Testimony, and the first one that I'd like to mention is the Ten Commandments. In Exodus chapter number 32, the Bible says that Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. We always call them the Ten Commandments, and it's not wrong to do so. They're listed in that way in other occasions, but specifically in Exodus 32:15, they are described and named as the two tables of the testimony that were in his hand. The tables were written on both of their sides. On the one side and on the other, they were written. You see, this is a testimony of something that God wanted the children of Israel to remember. Yes, there were instructions on there. Thou shalt not lie, and not to covet, and to keep the Sabbath, and not to have any other gods before Him, and not to bear false witness. However, all of these instructions were as a result of a relationship. And our testimony should always bear witness of the relationship that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Every time we give a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are shouting out a great remembrance of our relationship with Him and the instructions that He has given us. Sometimes we need reminded that we were plucked out of the wickedness of sin, and it's helpful to hear the testimony of some man, of some lady who spent years in vanity and pride, caring not their soul was, their Savior was crucified. We need to hear the grace that God has given them, that we might be reminded of the grace of God that was given to us. And I am so moved sometimes by those testimonies. People who were just brought up in such difficult circumstances, without hardly a bite to eat on the table. And it seems that their parents turned to drugs and alcohol and left to raise themselves. You hear the testimony as they reach those years of adolescence that they rebel against every authority in their life and find themselves on the street and in gangs and making a wreck of their life. And then there always comes that moment where they have an intersection and an appointment with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they see that they are dead in their trespasses and sins, and they come to Christ by faith, and the Lord makes them a new creature, and they're gloriously saved and turn around. And I love hearing those testimonies. But not to compare one testimony to another, could I tell you a testimony that I like even more? I like the testimony of that child that was raised in a Christian home. They didn't have to go through poverty, nor drugs, nor abuse, nor alcohol. They didn't have to go through a valley of the shadow of death, but instead was raised up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that child realizing that they're just as much a sinner as that drunk on the street, and they're just as much in need of a Savior as that addict there in downtown. And I love hearing about how Christ saved even that religious sinner and brings them into a point of relationship with Him. I'll tell you, when you got a testimony that's worth telling, it is for the purpose of remembering His grace. It's not just for the purpose of remembering His grace, though. It's also, number two, for the purpose of rejoicing. You see, the Ten Commandments weren't the only thing that was in that ark of the testimony. There was also a golden pot that was full of manna. And I love hearing those testimonies of God's provision. And that's what manna represents. God's provision. You see, God always provides for His people and cares for their needs. For I have not seen the righteous forsaken. I have not seen His seed begging bread. I know that my God will supply all our needs that in Christ Jesus. I know that our God will always give us what we need in the time that we need it. And we may feel that He's come too late or haven't given us exactly what we want. But I will say this, that He will always give us what we need. And when we come to those points where God has supplied and we look across what God has done over this past year, here we are in the waning days of 2023. And here we are still alive, still well cared for, still in it with a God that loves us. And we can look across all those months and see that God has provided every single day, every single week, every single month. And we ought to give Him glory and share a testimony because it's worth telling. The purpose of a testimony worth telling is that it brings us to remembrance, also for the purpose of rejoicing. And I'll just give you one more and we'll be done. But it's also for the purpose of repentance. Now, this might seem like an unusual thing to you. A testimony of God's goodness being used to bring others to repentance? Yes. You see, it's interesting, when you look at those three items that were in the Ark of the Covenant or the Ark of His testimony, you've got this golden pot that was full of manna. You have the tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments. That you also have this rod, which was Aaron's rod. And most of us, we're not as familiar as we should be about the story of this rod that budded. Here's this rod, piece of wood that was cut off a tree years ago and used as this man of God, this priest, Aaron, would walk through the wilderness, a stick that was helpful for support but not helpful for life because that stick was dead. And there came a time where the children of Israel were rebelling against God and rebelling against God's leadership and against Aaron, against Moses. And God decided, well, let's make it obvious who I want for my leadership. So this is what happened. Here's a little refresher course. God gave instruction to Moses that each tribe of Israel would offer a walking stick or a rod, if you will, would offer that and would inscribe the name of their tribe or the name of their leader. And all that was given to Moses, and Moses would take all of those sticks, all 12 of them, and bring them into the tabernacle and set them before the testimony of the ark. And then God would make it obvious who He chose as the priest of Israel. The next day, as Moses went in, he saw all 12 of those rods and 11 of them still dead as a doornail, but there was one that began to sprout a bud of life. In fact, if you go back and read the account of it, you'll discover that in Numbers 17, that it actually says that they ate of the almonds which it produced. Now, I've got a bamboo walking stick in my garage that was given to me by a homeless man about 10 years ago. I don't know why I felt so compelled to keep that thing, but I've kept it nonetheless. And did you know that I've never gone into the garage and noticed it sprouting anything? No. But there was one rod that did, and it was Aaron's. And in doing so, what God was saying is that Aaron, as a representative of the tribe of Levi, the Levitical priesthood, that they were the correct ones that were to serve as priests between the people and God. It was a clear and definitive answer from God. And this is a glorious thing because then God instructs Moses to add that rod that budded, Aaron's rod, into the ark of his testimony. And we see that the manna is a testimony of God's provision, the Ten Commandments, a testimony of God's relationship and God's instruction. But what then of this rod? What then of this rod? It is a reminder that there is one great priest that stands between us and the Father. And it is not a human priesthood from Levi, but instead it is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that there is only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And only when we come through him do we find forgiveness, do we find grace, do we find mercy. But then this is the glorious thing about it, is that once we receive mercy by the hand of Jesus Christ, then we too become a royal priesthood, the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hebrews chapter 4 reminds us that because we have been shed, that we have been washed in the blood of Christ, that we can come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, when we look to this rod, we realize as a testimony of Christ that we can come to God. But it also reminds that we can only come by one provider. We can only come through one door, the door of Jesus Christ. That's why Aaron's rod budded. It was to show that you can't get to God just any way you please, but there is only one way. And the only person that could come to God on behalf of Israel in this sense was Aaron. But the only way that we can come to God is by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You see, that's what this testimony was intended to accomplish. It was for the purpose of reminding, and it was for the purpose of rejoicing, but it was also for the purpose of repenting. That people would see that there is only one God, and the only way to come unto him is by the door of Jesus Christ. And as we share testimony about the gospel of Christ and what God is doing in our lives, it is to point others to Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. And as a reminder that no man cometh unto the Father but by him. In fact, even when we share the goodness of God, Romans chapter 2 tells us, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Have you ever given any thought to the fact that whenever you're in your workplace surrounded by heathens and you begin bragging about the goodness of God, how he has taken care of you, how he sustains you, how he invites you to speak with him, and how you commune with him and he communes with you? Have you ever considered that when you brag on God among the unsaved, that God uses that to lead others to repentance, that they would realize that there is nothing but emptiness and vanity vanity and vexation in the way that they live and in the beliefs that they have. But when they hear that there is a God and they hear the goodness of God in the land of the living, that it draws them in. Do you realize that that is the way that Israel was intended to function as a nation? That all the other nations of the world would see the goodness and blessings of God upon that people, and that they too would come and see the glory of that kingdom and of that God and of this promise and receive grace and mercy. You see, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a testimony worth telling. Let's open our mouths. Let's move forward with courage. Let's stop shying away, whether it's something as small as telling a friend how thankful you are that the Lord brought you safely into work that day, or whether you want to share the entire gospel message. Let's open our lips and proclaim His glory. It's for the purpose of repenting. It's for the purpose of remembering. And it's for the purpose of rejoicing. Let's share the testimony that God has given us, because it came from His hand. Why would we keep our lips closed about something that the God of heaven gave?